countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887. Or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is November 14th, 2013. In turmoil, most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you, and make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And, of course, if you're just listening on satellite and you or listen over the telephone or something, you don't have to, and you don't use the Internet. I hear there's 15% that don't, but if you don't, you can call me if you have a question. But I'm really excited about tonight's program, and so let's have a prayer, and we'll get right on with it. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and not really our guest's will, but you, Father. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and teach us all and give us all ears in which to hear the truth. So, Father, please bless this program tonight in your Son and Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, it seems like I'm kind of starting to lose my voice. I don't know what that's all about, but we'll let our guest do much of the talking because he really has some interesting things. Israel, wow, so misunderstood. So many folks seem to think that all of Israel rejected and killed Messiah, and well, that's simply not true. Had all the Jewish people rejected Messiah when Yeshua, when Yeshua sent the apostles out, who would have been that believed and were saved? After all, he told them to go, not to go to the Gentiles. The grafting of them, the Gentiles, would come later, after his death, burial, and resurrection. But why did so many reject Yeshua? Could it be they were looking for a different Messiah? A Messiah that we know has two differences. One that would show himself humble and be crucified, and another would come back roaring as a lion of the tribe of Judah, far from being humble. Tonight, we talk again of a rabbi who has found Yeshua, everyone's Messiah, everyone's Messiah for those that would just believe. We've talked of Rabbi Kaduri before. The first program caused an uproar as Chris Putnam talked about him as the Jews were being saved and about how Jews were being saved in his latest book. And then I brought on a Jewish unsaved friend of mine. He's an author. And he wanted to talk with Chris, and so I brought them both on the air together. Well, that was an explosive program. Well, what I gained from all that was the facts of of Rabbi Kaduri and what happened with him finding Messiah was just not really well known, or rather spread out, so to speak. That's my opinion. Well, enter Carl Gallups, pastor and author of books such as The Magic Man in the Sky. We brought on Carl, and he spoke of a book that was called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. This is a book he just wrote. Well, while we spoke of some of this, he promised to come back on after the release of the book and talk some more. Well, I am really glad he waited, and I'm glad he's back on with us tonight, because let me tell you, this book is explosive. Tonight, while you might start basically telling people, let's just get him on here. Carl, are you there with me?
I am here, Pastor Dan. God bless you. Thank you for having me back, and I'm privileged to be back with you.
Oh, I'm really excited about this. You know, in the last program, we talked about it, and you said, well, you know, we talked a little bit, but you said you'd talk more after the book. Well, the book, and folks, listen to this, and I'm not just trying to sell Carl's book. I'm sure Carl can do that a good job by himself. But let me tell you what, folks, this book is dynamite. There's something in this book for Christians, for Jews, for Messianic believers out there. And the story, Carl, the story was kind of spread out. You brought it all together and made sense out of it where others haven't. And it's just amazing, simply amazing book.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dan. And you know, I know you know this, want to tell your listeners that the book has been made into a documentary movie as well. So they can get the book, they can get the documentary movie, and they can also get it in Kindle. So it's available in just about every format that they could want.
Yeah, amen. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I have the book right here. It was sent to me, and wow, it's just really great. But for some of the people that haven't even heard anything about Rabbi Kaduri, before we go into the part that I want to talk about the most, about the two messiahs and Ariel Sharon, tell them, what are we talking about? Rabbi Kaduri, who is he? What's going on?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. And you know, Pastor Dan, now that the book is released, I can just talk about this all you want. We can go into every angle of it. I heard your previous shows with Tom Horn, and I've had him on my radio program as well. And I heard the show with your Jewish friend and his protestations about this story. So we can talk about all of that. Plus, we can talk about the Orthodox Jewish reaction to my book and the movie. We can have a good time tonight, my brother.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, the baseline story, let me just tell the baseline story. Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, 108 years old when he died in 2006, 300,000 people showed up in Jerusalem to come to his funeral. They had to close the city streets of Jerusalem down for almost 2 days. People flew in from nations around the world, all over Europe. Mainstream media carried it. Fox News covered it. I remember seeing bits of it on Fox News. This guy was world famous, world renowned among Orthodox Jews and people who are interested in prophecy because of his prophetic utterances. But what he's the most famous, or some would say infamous, for is that just before he died, of course, unbeknownst to him that it would be just before he died, but just before he died in a Yom Kippur service, October 2005, Yitzhak Kaduri told his congregants that not only had he had a vision of the Messiah, which back in 2003 he had said that, but now he was ramping it up by saying not only had he had a vision of the Messiah, but he knew the Messiah's real name. He knew who the Messiah was. And that he also knew a certain event that the Messiah's coming would be attached to. And he told his listeners and he told his followers that he had written the name of the Messiah in a note, in a cryptic note, and that after his death, and of course he couldn't have known when he would die, but he said after his death that the note was to be sealed for 1 year, and then after 1 year it could be opened. And so the second thing, though, he said was, is that it had been revealed to him that Messiah would not come until Ariel Sharon had died. Now, a couple of powerful things about that. First of all, Ariel Sharon was the prime minister when he uttered those words. Now, a few months prior to that, Pastor Dan, back in July and August, Ariel Sharon had been involved in the Gaza Land for Peace giveaway deal. And you'll remember that, of course. And
right, absolutely.
A lot of people in Israel were upset with him. People around the world were upset with him. And some Kabbalistic rabbis, Kabbalah, of course, is the mystical end of Judaism that even some Orthodox Jews reject. But it can get into magic and, you know, incantations, etc. But a group of Kabbalistic rabbis back in July and August of 2005 pronounced a death curse over Ariel Sharon for what he did with Gaza. That death curse in Hebrew is called the Pulsa Dinura, means lashings of fire. And so now that's July and August. Well, in October, Kaduri goes to his pulpit on Yom Kippur and says, I know the Messiah. I know his real name. I've met him in a vision. I've written his name down. And Ariel Sharon must die before the Messiah comes. Now, I did not uncover any evidence that Kaduri was involved in the Pulsa Dinura, but he did say those words about Ariel Sharon had to die first. Well, that was in October. Just a handful of weeks later, the 1st of January, which would have been 7 or 8 weeks later, the 1st of January, January 6th, I believe, was the date, Ariel Sharon has a massive stroke and lapses into a coma, Pastor Dan. And Ariel Sharon is still alive today, 7 years later. He's still in a coma. He is still alive. And back in September of this year, they did some actual surgery on him, some stomach surgery. And Fox News reported, I think it was May or June of this year, that they were doing some brainwave tests on him. And that he looked like he might even come around. He might recover. So amazing things going on with Ariel Sharon. But
yeah.
within a few weeks of Ariel Sharon going into a coma, Rabbi Kaduri died in the same month, January of 2006. And so now the world was pretty astounded that these things were happening rapid fire right next to each other. And now the world waited for a year. And the Orthodox Jewish world was very excited because, you know, Kaduri was so revered and so loved by them, probably the most venerated rabbi in Israel's modern history, to be sure. And so a year passed. And after a year, in 2007, the note around March or April, the note was posted on Rabbi Kaduri's own website, obviously by somebody within his organization, webmaster, somebody. Israel Today ran a huge story about the note. News First Class, NFC, is now called News One out of Israel. They ran a story. It was all, that's an all Hebrew language site. They ran a big story about it. And the note was there. Now, here's the shocker to the whole thing, as you well know, because I've heard your shows, I know you know this, but the shocker to the whole thing was that when the note was finally interpreted, when it was decrypted, the note revealed that, and I can go into the exact words of the note and how it was decrypted in a moment, but let me just get to the point.
Go right ahead.
The note revealed that the name of Messiah, according to Kaduri, was, in Hebrew, Yehoshua, or, as another way of saying it, Yeshua, or Yeshua, depending upon how you put the emphasis. So, right. Yehoshua or Yeshua, of course, translated to English, Jesus. So you've got the most venerated rabbi in Israel's modern history. Writes a note, and a year later it's posted on his website proclaiming that Jesus is the name of the real Messiah. And that, of course, started the furor, which rages even to today. The Israeli media buried it. The mainstream media of the world buried the story. The same people that wrote down everything this man ever uttered in their mainstream media sources now pretended like he never said this and never wrote the note. They were so enraged by it and the publicity that it got.
But it was, for a second, Carl, you're such a wonderful speaker, but I got to butt in. We felt that when I did not realize how explosive that and how bad that, you know, that Jewish friend of mine that came on the air, and he was so upset that we would even say that Kaduri had did this and that it was all a lie. All the things that you were saying, we felt that on this program. And I didn't realize, I believed that the Father had allowed all this to happen to set us up for this program tonight so that you could come and explain it. I have no other words to say, but go on. Amen.
Yeah, well, thank you, brother. And I heard that interview with him, and I can explain to you, of course, and you know this, and you've read the book, and plus you know now why it's so explosive. But for Rabbi Kaduri, I want your listeners to understand, he would be equivalent to the Billy Graham of Christianity, or for the Catholics of that part of Christianity, he would be equivalent to the Pope, literally. Rabbi Kaduri was that prominent, that powerful. And for Rabbi Kaduri to proclaim that the Messiah's name is Jesus would be tantamount to Billy Graham proclaiming that Muhammad was the Messiah, or Mahdi, you know, was Messiah. I mean, and it was unthinkable to the Orthodox Jews. That's why they're still enraged to this day. But Pastor Dan, as you know, this goes all the way back to the first century, brother. This was the same reaction that the Orthodox Jews had when Jesus walked the face of this earth and fulfilled all of the prophecies, presented himself as the Messiah, delivered himself to the cross, as the prophecy said, rose from the dead 3 days later, as the prophecies declared. Priests came to him as Lord. Pharisees came to him as Lord. Synagogue rulers believed in him. Thousands of people were saved at the Pentecost, at the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the early church. And all of these were Jews. And for the first several decades of early Christianity, the Christians were all Jews. They were Jews. There were no Gentiles in the church until Paul began his ministry 14 years later. So they were highly persecuted, Pastor Dan. And by their own brethren. And to this day, I mean, the documentary movie about my book, you if you've read my book and like it, you've got to see this movie, because we've got film footage of Rabbi Kaduri's son denying all of this. We've got Jewish lawyers and Jewish apologists, one after the other, going through the same things your friend told you on your radio program. But then mm-hmm. we've got film footage of Rabbi Kaduri's students, Pastor Dan, coming out of his own yeshiva, his own seminary, his own school for rabbis, proclaiming that, oh, yes, Rabbi Kaduri spoke of Yeshua often. He spoke of the Messiah often. He spoke of the fact that Yeshua was Messiah. They said, and this is on film, and they're admitting this, and but yet the Kaduri clan, you know, is still trying to cover it up. And I can understand. I don't want to be disparaging towards them. I understand from their point of view. This declaration of this Pope of the Jews, if you will, this declaration was devastating to their message.
Well, it's dynamite, and folks, Carl, is the video on your website? I haven't noticed.
Oh yes, you can get it on Amazon. Yes, sir, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it at the WND Superstore. You can go to my website and see a brief trailer, a couple minute trailer of it. The movie lasts an hour. Jonathan Cahn, the number one New York best-selling author of The Harbinger,
right.
He is in the movie explaining the Orthodox Jewish mindset and kind of giving color commentary from a Jewish perspective. It's a powerful, powerful movie. And Please hear me, brother. I'm not bragging on myself now. I'm talking about the movie. The production of the movie is unbelievable. I was in a showing here just recently. 500-600 people were in a theater type setting, and they mm-hmm. showed that movie. And brother, when it cranked up, you could hear a pin drop, and not a soul left the theater until it was over. And then they erupted into spontaneous applause. And It's been an amazing phenomenon. I'm telling you, Pastor Dan, this is a powerful story. It's still unfolding.
Well, you know, I really feel after reading I got kind of taken into this whole thing by accident, like I said, with, you know, having a guest on and the other one, and then finding out that you wrote the book, which was the blessing, so to speak, at the end of that. But you know, I really believe, folks, that this book, it will open up if you open your heart and you pray about it before you go into it, like you do with your Bible. I believe there's some things that are going to be revealed to you, and you're going to get a greater understanding of, number one, of why the Jews even thought the way that they did and in a way that they do, because of this thing called that you point out so greatly. And I hadn't heard anybody else talk about it. It was told to me by a rabbi I had on a couple of years ago, and talk about hatred. When I first asked him to come on, Carl, he sent me to a website that told me what they thought about the Christians, and it was just really horrible. And I said, well, let's move on beyond that. I still want you on. And we talked, and he told me about the two messiahs. And that's a really amazing fact that most Christians know nothing about.
Yes. Well, yes, and thank you. I do cover that heavily, and we can talk about that tonight. I would love to share that with your audience. And I just want to tell your audience, this book is not preachy. It's written in a journalistic, factual fashion. It's heavily, heavily documented and resourced. There's very little hearsay in it. I do have some little fictional narratives in there where I try to draw the reader into the Jewish synagogue and draw the reader into the times of the early Christians. But when I get into the actual story of Rabbi Kaduri, it's fact, one fact after another, documented and resourced. And I do come to some startling conclusions. I'll leave that for the readers. I don't want to give it all away. But not only that, but this is a kind of book, as you know, Pastor Dan, that can be put on your bookshelf and referred to for years, because regardless of how this story plays out with Ariel Sharon and his coma and whether he lives or passes in our lifetime or what happens, the book is filled with, as you said, interpretation of contextual scripture, a prophetic understanding of the times in which we live. It's filled with the understanding of the Jewish mindset, the two messiahs, an understanding of Kabbalah, an understanding of Zionism, an understanding of Jewish and Israeli history. So it's a powerful book in that sense, that it will be useful for Christians for a long time to come. Don't you think, Brother Dan?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Just as tonight, I was talking to our producer before the program, and I was explaining to him what the meaning of Kabbalah was, you know, what the word meant. And I got that from it. And I didn't know that before. I mean, I didn't realize that it was such a simple thing that was changed to other things. But, yeah, you want to put this on your bookshelf, and you're going to refer to it. It's going to get dog-eared and thumbed because you're going to find yourself going back to it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that. Well, let me ask you, brother, there's so much to talk about that's in this book and in this movie. Where would you like me to go next? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Kabbalah? You want to talk about the two Jewish messiahs? What Zionism? What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about this. We got about a minute before break. When we come back, though, I would like to talk about the two messiahs. I think that's an astounding part, and we can talk about that chapter better, and that way we won't. There's no way we've even got time to cover this whole book, folks, but we'll cover about that and see where Carl leads us. But, Carl, give them some websites or something, and we got about 30 seconds, actually, for break. Before break.
Okay, good deal. The easiest, simplest way is to go to carlgallups.com, G-A-L-L-U-P-S, Carl with a C, carlgallups.com. Everything about me, my ministry, videos, everything's there, plus all the information about my books. The books and the documentary can be found at amazon.com.
And let me point you to another good book that Carl wrote. It's in one that you can share with unbelievers that'll really make them think, and that's called The Magic Man in the Sky. And, Carl, that's a great book.
Thank you, folks.
We'll be back.
God bless you.
All right, we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes, folks.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. To order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up. homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight for about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor in our mission church at Wichita, Kansas. And, you know, really, November's on us, and even more certainly than November, the biggest day of the year that we do is Thanksgiving, because not only do the homeless come in, but people from around the neighborhood come in, and they look for that family feeling, and we have people that used to be homeless that come in, and the other poor people that we help all the time come in. And so my wife makes a great big Thanksgiving meal with all of the trimmings, and it's just wonderful. And even the news media, that's the one day of the year that they decide to come down and see what we're up to. And in fact, you can go out to WichitaHomeless.com, and you can see those for about the last 6 years or so, the news clips that they did about it. So pray about it. Pray about supporting, you know, Thanksgiving, if nothing else, because, you know, it's such a great time. What it's all about is giving thanks to God our Father. And I think all of us, no matter where we stand at in the spectrum, can believe that. Believe in our Creator and give Him thanks for all the things that we've gotten over the year. Anyway, you can donate for that online, or you can mail a check or money order, or you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And of course, you're listening to radio and you do not use the internet, well, that's fine too. You can just call me at 620-878-4682. And I'm going to cut this commercial short because I'm so interested in getting back with our guest tonight and talking about this book about the rabbi that found Messiah. So welcome back, Carl. Are you still with me?
I am still here, Pastor Dan. God bless you. And I'm going to plug your ministry for you. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the kingdom and ministering to people. And God bless you, brother. We're advancing the kingdom of Jesus together.
Well, amen. You know, and in all, that's what it's all about. You show his kindness, and they say, well, why are you different? And then you get a chance to share Messiah with them, and we add to the kingdom, and that's what it's all about.
That's bottom line. That's bottom line to what it's all about. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, you know what? This was a hard break to go through because I want to hear more about this. Bring us into these two messiahs. What am I talking about? Two messiahs. Yes. I thought there was one.
Yes, well, this will certainly help. Let me explain this, and this will bring the New Testament alive to your listeners. The Jews, for the longest, and I don't know really where this originated, it goes back thousands of years, and there are various denominations of belief as to how all of this fits together, but generally speaking, among the Orthodox Jews, they believe that there will be two messiahs that will come to Israel. They call the first one Messiah ben Joseph, and as you know, the word ben is Hebrew, means son of, Messiah, son of Joseph. And then they believe that the ultimate Messiah, who will rule and reign and restore Israel to, as the rightful leader of nations among nations, is Messiah ben David, Messiah, son of David. Now, this is so fascinating because what they say, now the Bible doesn't say these things specifically, but the Jewish teaching, the Jewish commentary upon the Bible, the Jewish tradition, the Jewish oral teachings, the rabbinical Jewish teachings teach that Messiah ben Joseph, when he comes, he will be more of a governmental, political, military type figure who will lead the nation to become a strong nation, to prepare the way for Messiah ben David, the ultimate ruler. But Messiah ben Joseph will be, quote, rejected by his brothers. He will be eventually killed, but he will be eventually resurrected. When Messiah ben David comes, Messiah ben David will effect his resurrection from the dead. Well, that's astounding. And then they teach that when Messiah ben David comes, that he will rule and reign and bring Israel into the forefront among the nations, and the messianic reign of God will be upon the face of the earth in Messiah ben David. Now, this is, now, for our Orthodox Jewish listeners, please hear me. I'm not trying to do a travesty to that teaching. I know it's much more complex than that. And there are various flavors of that teaching among the Jews, so I understand that. I'm just trying to simplify it for the sake of our discussion tonight. But those are the two messiahs. Now, Pastor Dan, of course, as I'm saying this, you're chomping at the bits because you understand that Jesus, Yeshua, Yehoshua, he fulfilled both Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David expectations of the Jews. As a matter of fact, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, and on the week of Passover, right before his crucifixion, the people were hailing him as Hosanna to the Son of David. And that's why the Pharisees went to him and said, tell your disciples to stop this. This is blasphemy, because the people were hailing Jesus as Messiah ben David, the ultimate Messiah. See, modern Christians, especially those that live in America 2,000 years later, we read that passage and we don't understand the power of it. When they were calling him Jesus, the Son of David, we think, oh, well, they didn't really know he was Messiah. Look, they're calling him Son of David. No, that's the Jewish term for the ultimate Messiah, the one who would come and rule and reign. And think of this, Pastor Dan. This understanding of the two messiahs also explains why Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, because Judas thought that Jesus, who was also son of Joseph, right? Mary, his mother, Joseph, his earthly father, this right. Messiah ben Joseph, he thought that Jesus was going to come and rule and reign as this militaristic, governmental, political figure who could raise the dead, who could heal the sick, who could create food out of a couple loaves of bread and some fish. I mean, what a military he could have if he could heal the soldiers that got wounded, if he could feed the soldiers with a few loaves of bread and fish. I mean, here is Messiah ben Joseph. And that also explains why James and John, their mother went to Jesus and said, look, when you come into your kingdom, I want my boys, one to sit on your left and one to sit on your right. She wasn't talking about a millennial reign or a heavenly kingdom. She thought he was Messiah ben Joseph, and so did some of his disciples early on. They were ready to get on with it. They were ready to get on with the political ruling and reigning to make way for Messiah ben David. So that's pretty fascinating stuff, isn't it, Brother Dan?
Oh, absolutely fascinating. And, you know, and it explains why it wasn't that they weren't yearning for Messiah. It's just that, you know, they weren't
they just didn't get it because of you know, the sequence of events with the Messiah. But yeah, absolutely. And the book brings it out. Now there's a lot more to that. We're not going to reveal everything tonight. We want you to get the book and the video. But then Ariel Sharon figures into the two Messiahs thing, and that's pretty fascinating in itself too.
Yes, it is, because you see, when we hear Rabbi Kaduri saying, well, he has to die first before Messiah Ben David comes, well, immediately the Western mind thinks, well, he's just upset with Sharon and thinks he has to die. But from the Jewish mindset, it's highly possible, and I can't prove this because I don't know what Kaduri was thinking, but since I know he was a rabbinical Jew and a venerated rabbi, more than likely he was thinking that perhaps Ariel Sharon was Messiah ben Joseph. Now, a lot of people in Israel think that. In fact, you can get on the Internet and find Orthodox Jews who say that they believe that Ariel Sharon was Messiah ben Joseph. Okay, why? Well, Ariel Sharon was in Israel's military as a young officer before Israel was even a nation. In other words, there was a kind of an underground revolutionary military that was being put together before the May 1948 Independence Day, and Ariel Sharon was a part of it. So he was a part of the birthing of Israel, and when you look at his history, and my book points this out, he was rejected by his brothers. But they teased him. He was fat. He was a little arrogant. He was overbearing. They teased him unmercifully. His own, kind of the Joseph story and the coat of many colors. He was rejected by his own people, by his brothers, yet he rose to be this military hero in Israel, eventually rose into all manner of governmental offices until he finally was prime minister. He is the one who led Israel in the Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day War, the recapturing of Jerusalem, the recapturing of Sinai. He was in the War of Independence. He was eventually tagged with the name Ariel Sharon, Lion of Israel, King of Israel. Some even called him the Savior of Israel. So you see all of these messianic terms, and by the way, all of this is documented and resourced in my book. I mean, this comes, comes right out of Israeli newspapers. I mean, this is not stuff I'm making up. And so you've got all of these, and then what happens to him? Well, he's rejected by his brothers, yet he rises to become this political military hero, the Savior of Israel, and then he, quote, dies, but not really. He's just hanging in there in a coma for how many years? Not six, not eight, but seven, a biblical number of perfection, 7 years. He's in a coma. If he wakes up, people will claim that he has resurrected, and here's Messiah ben Joseph. And when he dies, though, then Messiah ben David can come. So do you see how the Jewish mindset thinks about these things?
Let me say one thing about the Jewish mindset. You know, while we're Christians, and I know, of course, you know this, Carl, we think everything, you know, we look at this, actually, most of us look at the spiritual side of everything before we even look at the literal side of things. But it's just the opposite for Jews. You know, I've had several Jews on here, like Nehemiah Gordon, which will be on next week, who has now been experiencing the Holy Spirit. But anyway, we won't go into that. We'll talk about that next week. But anyway, but Nehemiah Gordon, as well as other Jews, they are brought up not believing in anything spiritual. It was, well, a good instance, Carl, was like this. Nehemiah Gordon, he is a Karaite Jew, and he was brought up not believing in anything supernatural. Well, he explained something to him, one of my programs, that he kept hidden all these years because he didn't believe anything supernatural until he was in a Pentecostal church and felt the move of something that brought tears to his eyes and great joy and everything. And then he explained this story that he's trying right now to understand what it is he felt. In fact, he's in China on a sabbatical. But what he explained to us was that at Passover, at a Passover Seder, they take a cup of wine and they put it out for Elijah, because the story is they believe Elijah will come, and you know that, Carl.
That's right.
But they tell somebody to get up and open the door for Elijah. Well,
right.
You know, we even do that in our Passover, and get up and open the door, and of course there's nobody there, and you shut the door again. Well, Nehemiah Gordon got up, and he went to the door and opened it, and he seen an apparition that looked like Elijah in the door. And he just shut the door, and he never spoke a word about it until he talked about it on our program. But you see, the reason being is because they reject all supernatural things. So they look for a physical Messiah instead of a spiritual Messiah, and so on and so forth. So they look at it in that mannerism. They just don't get it, the spiritual side of it. Did I explain that good enough?
Yeah, no, you did. Very, very well explained and very well spoken. And before I go further, I want to make sure for your Jewish listeners tonight, I really pray that they would forgive me at least for oversimplifying things. And not every Jew believes that that Sharon is the Messiah ben Joseph. I want to make that clear. Some Orthodox Jews are probably screaming at the radio right now saying that's not true. But it is true that many people in Israel do think that he might be Messiah ben Joseph, and others believe that this is why Kaduri was attaching his understanding of who the Messiah was to Ariel Sharon. But no, you're absolutely right, brother, and not only is there this understanding of the supernatural, but there truly is an ingrained hatred towards all things Christian, the New Testament documents, which, oddly enough, were written by all Jews. Jesus the Christ, which, oddly enough, he was a Jew. They hate the concept of the Apostle Paul, who, oddly enough, was a Jewish rabbi, who had a vision of Messiah as Jesus. But they teach their children, and Rabbi Jonathan Kahn makes this clear in my video and in my book, they teach their children from the earliest of age that Christianity is anathema. Jesus is a hated name. They mock the name. They lampoon the name. They lamblast the name. For a Jew can be an atheist, and that's okay. But if you claim you're a Christian, well, you're kicked out of the family.
Yeah.
Because Judaism for most Jews is not about the spiritual. It's about tradition.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever saw the famous musical Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh yeah, sure. Tradition. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you remember the famous song? That's the centerpiece song is tradition.
Yeah,
because that's the key. It's not about the scriptures and the prophecies and the coming of God in spiritual form and then in the flesh. It's about tradition. Do we keep the law? Do we keep the feasts? Do we do the sacrifices correct? Do we obey the rabbinical interpretations of the law? Do we circumcise our children? Do we observe all the Sabbath rules and regulations when we eat our meals and do our weddings? Do we do it in the grandest of Jewish traditional style? I mean, that's their religion, is tradition and the law. And of course, your students of the New Testament now understand why that was so important, that Jesus confronted that, and so did the Apostle Paul. In fact, Jesus, that's one of the things he was crucified for, was his confrontation of this tradition, this dead tradition and this dead law that cannot save.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me intercede here for some of my Messianic listeners out there and others. Those things that Carl spoke about, while we talk about the Sabbath, we talk about the feast and all these things, and the Torah, I don't like to really call it law, but with it poured with the Holy Spirit on it, it's a wonderful and beautiful thing. Really is. It's so legalistic, have you ever heard of a Sabbath elevator, Carl? They have these elevators in Israel that just stop at every floor, and you've got to get on and get off because they believe that if you hit the button, the Orthodox Jew believes that that was too much work and you broke the Sabbath. So a Sabbath elevator works on its own. If you turn on a light for the Sabbath, you got to turn it on before the Sabbath and don't touch it until the Sabbath's over. These are fences and things built around Torah that are just not scriptural and are not spiritual.
Yes. No, you so eloquently stated that, and you're right. No, listen, I teach my people all the time the in-depth understanding of the feast and the celebrations and the sacrifices and how they all point to Jesus and even the Seder. I mean, I took Seder with a group of Messianic Christians, Jews, last Passover, and took the Seder meal with them. Of course, they understand, and I understand, that it was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when those things are filled by the Holy Spirit, and when people understand that they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, I was talking to somebody the other day, for example, Pastor Dan, who was telling me that if I didn't worship on a Saturday, that I would never make it into heaven. And I said, but you know, have you ever read the book of Hebrews? You see, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are fulfilling the Sabbath. Jesus is the fulfillment of it all. And that's the beauty that so many people miss, Pastor Dan.
Well, that outpouring of the Spirit. Let me throw this out here. Everybody that was ever saved in the Old Testament was saved by grace in belief of a coming Messiah.
Absolutely.
That's what Abraham believed in God, but what was it he believed? He believed by the whole world his seed would be blessed. He believed in Yeshua coming, and that's what he believed in. It was belief in Yeshua. It wasn't by keeping the Torah. It wasn't by keeping the Sabbath. It wasn't by keeping the feast. Of course, we're not supposed to sin, but he was saved by grace. And we are the seed of Abraham because why? Why are we the seed of Abraham, Carl?
Yeah, we're the seed of Abraham because we also are saved by that same faith, and we also see you're preaching the whole book of Galatians right now, brother. That's exactly right. No, because what was Abraham's famous declaration on Mount Moriah when he took his son up? God himself will provide the lamb, my son, and I call this place God will provide. Yahweh will provide. Because that was his faith, that there was a coming Messiah, there was a coming Lamb, there was a coming Savior, there was a coming Lamb of God. That was the faith of Abraham, which saved him. There was no law until 500 years after Abraham. So how was Abraham saved? He was saved by faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody, that's exactly it. And, you know, the thing, looking at the Torah in itself, Torah was actually, let's say the commandments on Mount Sinai was more of a thing that was given to a society thing. But you have to pour the Spirit on it. Carl, it's just like this. People say, well, you still read the Torah and you understand it. What do you get out of all those sacrifices with all the different animals? Well, of course, the main thing I get out of it, that Yeshua would come and be our supreme sacrifice. But the other thing that I get out of it, of course, I don't go out and slaughter animals now, but I do understand what it costs. It shows us that sin costs. You think that by raising those animals up, and it took so long for it to do it, and then they had to give their best animal, and then they sacrificed it? That's like, you know, wrecking your family car and getting rid of it but it was a sacrifice. It cost a lot. So therefore, sin costs. That's what you learn out of that, besides the fact that Yeshua had to come and die for those sins.
Yeah, beautifully, beautifully stated, Pastor Dan. Well, I could sit under your preaching and teaching all day.
Well, you know, I just love Yeshua. You know, he saved me. I was a fallen man, and he saved me, and I died. You know, I just had a Bible study with a couple of new guys the other night that needed the New Testament really bad. And I said, well, let's just sit down, and we started going through the book of John, and I explained to them, I said, brothers, you know, you need to die and become born again. Do you really know what that means? And they didn't know what it meant, and I explained to them that that old person has to die. They'd gone, ain't there no more. Has to die, and a new person arises, a new person, and that person is controlled by their Lord and Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, whichever you want to call him, because he understands who you're talking about. And that life is the new life,
and the new man, and that's what counts. Amen?
Absolutely. And, you know, that segues into something that I would love to share with your folks about this story of the rabbi who found Messiah. People ask me, well, so did Kaduri become a Christian? And my answer to that is, look, if you're asking me if Rabbi Kaduri understood that Yeshua was the Messiah, and he went down and joined a Baptist church or a Pentecostal Assembly of God church, no, that didn't happen. Did he go out and build a church and put a steeple on top and a cross inside of it because he had become a Christian? No, that didn't happen. Well, what happened to Rabbi Kaduri? He was a Jew who believed that Yeshua was Christ, just like the early Jews in the first century, just like the Apostle Paul. See, the early Christians, as you know, Brother Dan, they weren't called Christians and for years after.
Right.
They were Jews. They were Jews. And they believed that Yeshua was the Christ, and they went right back to their synagogues until they were finally kicked out of the synagogues and persecuted by people like Paul. So that's what Kaduri did. I mean, he was a Jew. He would never believe in renouncing his Jewishness. You don't have to renounce your Jewishness to receive Yeshua as Christ. He was an Orthodox Jew who finally came to the realization, and he claimed a vision from God that Yeshua was Christ, Yehoshua was Christ. He wrote it in a note. It was unsealed. It was put on his website. It was translated. And by the way, if we got enough time, I don't know if we do, but I can tell your listeners what the note actually said and how it was translated.
Tell them what we said. We got a couple minutes.
Yeah, and then when it was translated, it said Yahushua. All right, here's what it said. So when the note was put up, and this is why I think there was such furor over it, Pastor Dan. I'm going to give you my opinion. You know, I used to be a cop before I was a pastor, so I'm really good investigator.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah, well, it does. And I'm going to tell you what I think happened. So when the note was put up, the note says, it was written in Hebrew, of course, because he couldn't speak English, but I'm going to say it in English. Here's what the note said. Concerning the letter abbreviation of his name, comma, he shall lift his people and prove that the word and the law are valid. Now, that's what the note said. Now, you're thinking, people are thinking, well, how did that say that Yeshua is the Christ? I thought you said the note said Yeshua was the Christ. Well, it does. Watch, and here's where I think the confusion came in with his own people who then later rejected the note. When they put it up there, the note looked very Jewish. It sounds very Old Testament, doesn't it? I mean, it just sounds like it's almost a verse out of the Old Testament or something. But then they remembered. He said this note would reveal the name of the Messiah. Now listen again to the first part of the note. Concerning the letter abbreviation of his name. Well, what name was it he was going to reveal? Messiah. So Rabbi Kaduri left a clue to how to decode this cryptic note. He said it's in a letter abbreviation. Then they realized that he was talking about the rest of his note where it says, he shall lift his people and prove that the word and law are valid. So they looked at that, and in Hebrew, that sentence is written in six Hebrew words. So they took the first letter of each of those words, which Hebrews are fond of doing. All of Psalm 119, as you know, Pastor Dan, is written as an acrostic. So they took the first Hebrew letters of those six Hebrew words, and lo and behold, before their eyes, they saw the message Kaduri had left. It's spelled Yehoshua or Yeshua.
And right here, we're going to have to break in. Carl, it was great having you on, but we got to go, brother. Folks, just remember, there is only one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And remember that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.